for the fathers that God has put in my life. Thankful to have my father with me today and my father-in-law. I'm thankful for them, for their influence in my life. I'm thankful for my grandfathers that have gone on to be with the Lord. And most of all, I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father. You know, I'm here to worship Him today, and He's the one that has given us every good and every perfect gift. It's come from His hand. And He's a perfect Father. You may be here, and this may be a day for you that's not so joyous. It may be because you didn't have a good father. Maybe your father's not here. Maybe you grew up without a father. But I want you to know that the Bible says that God is the father to the fatherless. And so we can thank Him for that. Well, fathers, do you understand that we are second place today? I mean, Mother's Day is a far bigger day than Father's Day. I don't know if you know that or not, but a newspaper article reported that 72% of Americans plan to celebrate Father's Day, whereas 81% celebrated Mother's Day. And I thought this was interesting. It said, the average cost of a Father's Day gift is $42, while the average cost of a Mother's Day gift is $63. So fathers, we don't get any respect. You know that, don't you? I was reading about the history of Father's Day, and there was a lady by the name of Jane Addams in 1911. She wrote, "Poor father has been left out in the cold. He doesn't get much recognition. It would be a good thing if he had a day that would mean recognition of him." And did you know, 61 years later, President Richard Nixon, he signed into a bill or a law making Father's Day a national holiday. And I want to say it's a good thing that we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day. It's a good thing, I really believe, because, you know, when God gave us the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father. But the next six commandments deal with our relationship to people, to one another. And the first of those six is this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, it's a good thing, because if we teach our children to honor their father and their mother, we're going to help them live long. I mean, that's what the Bible says. We should honor them. And one of the reasons I believe God put that in His commandments is because it runs against our nature to obey authority, whether it's God's authority or our parents' authority. We want to be free. We want to do our own thing. That's just our human nature. And the story we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 15, I believe it reveals that truth so eloquently. So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 15 this morning, we're going to be looking at one of the most well-known stories Jesus ever told. Now, you may not agree with me on that, but I believe it's probably one of the most well-known stories. It's the story that we often hear called the parable of the prodigal son. But I want to submit to you today that that is not the main, the prodigal son is not the main character of this story. You know, I've preached on the prodigal son many, many times. I mean, there is that application about the prodigal son running away from his father and coming back to his father to be restored. I've even preached on the elder son, but I do not believe that I've ever preached on the main character of the story. The main character of this story is the father. It's the father. You know, I think more than saying that it's a parable of the prodigal son. I think it'd be better to say the parable of the good father. And that's going to be my title this morning of the message, the parable of the good father. You know, Jesus, he spoke these three parables in this chapter in response to a criticism that he received from the Pharisees and the scribes. And so before we read our text, beginning verse 11, I want you to look in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And notice verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying. And so we need to understand the reason Jesus spoke these parables. We're going to look at the third one. But the reason he spoke these parables is to teach us about our Father's love for his lost, erring children. That's what he's teaching, because these Pharisees and scribes were criticizing him for receiving sinners and eating with them. You know, they shunned these people. They shunned the publicans and the sinners. But Jesus, he ate with them. He received them. He ministered to them. And the first parable is about the shepherd that had 100 sheep and one went astray, and he left the 99 and went after the one. What is he teaching? He's teaching there about God loves his lost sheep. He loves lost sinners. And then in the second one about the woman that had the 10 coins and she lost one, and she was searching all over the house for it. And, you know, that teaches us how that God searches and seeks after the lost. The last one, of course, is the parable about the son that went astray, that went off into the far country. And you know what this story reveals? It reveals a father looking for his lost son. You know, the whole point and emphasis is not the son. It's the father's love. It's the father's goodness. That is the whole point Jesus is trying to show here. He's trying to show us the love of our Heavenly Father. Because you know, a parable in the Bible, it is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus is telling us this earthly story about this good father who had two sons. And he's trying to show us the heavenly truth is this represents our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, how he loves us so much. He desires to fellowship with us. He loves us so much. So we're going to look here in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 11. If you'll follow with me, verse 24, as we read this story. And he said, that is Jesus, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful story about your love that you have for us. Lord, I pray this morning that you might open our hearts and to be able to see your great loving heart. To see that you are a good, good Father. You love us so, so much. Father, that we would be able to see your compassion this morning for us. Lord, that we would, by looking at your goodness this morning, that it would lead us to repentance. Father, I pray for those here in this congregation. There may be those here that are lost, that have never come to Jesus and do not have a relationship with you, cannot call you their Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray today that they would recognize that you want to be their Father, that you provided a way through your Son for them to come into a relationship with you, to become a child of God. And Father, I also want to pray for those here that are children of God, those that have come to faith in Jesus, those that have been saved, those that call upon you as their Father. Father, I know that our hearts are prone to wander. Just like the old hymn written over 200 years ago says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. God, we have that tendency to throw off all authority over our life. We have that tendency to just want to be free and do our own thing. Father, I pray that you would help us to learn from this story the ruin that comes to our lives, the emptiness that comes to our lives when we go our own way, when we seek the pleasures of this world. And Father, that you would help those who have gone into that far country, your children that have left your fellowship, I pray that today they would come home, just like this prodigal son, that they would see that your love is awaiting them. You're waiting to receive and restore. Father, we pray that you would bless this message and use it for your honor, for your glory, I pray. Amen. You know, as we look at this story, a beautiful, beautiful story about a father's love. You know, as I said earlier, I'm thankful my father's here. I'm thankful for his love. He's a good father. He really is. As I read this story and being a father myself, it means a lot to me. And I want this morning, my goal this morning is to point you to some characteristics of our Heavenly Father. You know, tonight I plan to preach this same parable, but I'm going to look at it from a different perspective tonight. We're going to look at the application for human fathers tonight, but this morning I felt led to focus on our Heavenly Father. Because I believe that's what this parable is all about. Jesus is trying to help us to see some characteristics of our Heavenly Father to teach us something about the nature of our Father in heaven. And there are just three simple things I'm going to share with you as we go through this story. And the first one is this. Our Heavenly Father, He is a concerned Father. He is a concerned Father. I want you to look again in this story. And what we have in this story here is the younger son demanding his inheritance, though his father was still alive. You know, Jewish law said that the older son, if a man had two sons, the older son would receive two-thirds, the younger son would receive one-third. And I even read that in the biblical times that a father, it was not uncommon for a father to give his children their inheritance before he died. Maybe sometimes it would be at the wedding when he would give them their inheritance. But regardless, what we see here is this young son, he's coming to his father, he's demanding his inheritance. He says, I want you to notice again, I want you to notice what he says in verse 12, Father, give me, give me, give me. You know, this me attitude, this selfishness of this son, this is a disrespectful, rebellious son here. And I want to tell you, I really believe, I'm going to read between the lines here, but I really believe that this father, because being a father myself, I really believe this father could see before this moment ever came, he could see in the heart of his son a prodigal heart. He could see in the actions of his son as his son was making decisions, as he began to become of age, and he began to see his son making bad choices. He began to see his son's attitude reveal itself. He began to see that his son was not happy about doing his father's chores. He was not happy about his father's curfew. And he got to the place where he thought, well, you know, I don't want to go to my father's church. I don't want to go there every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I want to start doing my own things. I mean, that attitude began to manifest itself. You know, I can just imagine this father as he was watching his son and seeing the decision and choices his son was making, how his heart must have been broken. How he must have been concerned about his son. He was so heavy-hearted and concerned about his son making these wrong choices. Choices to go his own way. And really, as you think about it, this is very, very sad, because you think about it, the father had provided everything for his sons. He had provided everything for them. And yet, we don't see either son, the younger or the elder, being grateful for what the father had given them. You know, it's sad. We see it today among a lot of children today. They grow up and their parents give everything for them. They provide for them. They love them. They give them clothes and a place to live and provide everything for their children. But then their children come to a place where they're like, I'm going to do my own thing. And I'm not saying it's wrong for children to start making their own choices. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying that, you know, children be getting to the place where they disrespect their parents. They rebel against their parents. They begin, how many teens, you know, today that they get tired of mom and dad's rules. They get tired of, well, that curfew. They get tired of the fact that, well, I have to, my internet time is limited, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And we have a lot of kids like that today. Well, this boy, he decided he wanted to live with his own rules. He decided that he wanted to leave his father's rules. He decided that he wanted to go out on his own. And so he comes to his father. He said, Father, I want you to give everything that's coming to me. I want it now. I know you're going to die someday, Father, but I can't wait. I want my inheritance now. You know, this father, I wonder if it was us, what we would have done. We would have lectured that boy and set him in his place, or we maybe done everything we could to prevent him from going off on his own. But this father, I want you to know, he was a very concerned father. But I want you to know something. This father, the Bible says that he divided unto him his living. He gave him what he asked. You know, we better be careful sometimes what we ask our Heavenly Father. We may get it. You know, sometimes we can ask Him, you know, and He gives us according to our heart's lust and desires, and we go off and ruin ourselves just like this son did. And you know, as his father divided all his living, it says not many days after he gathered all together, took his journey to a far country. And notice what Jesus used to describe what he did there. Wasted his substance with righteous living. You know, there's a lot we could read into that. But this is, he went after the party life. This kid we see here, he took off. He got his money and he took off with it. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, I'm sure this father was broken. I'm sure he was weeping. And I know he was a concerned father. I know, because the way later in the story when the son comes back, how he welcomes his son, the response of the father, I know this was a concerned father. I know this was a father that day by day by day, he would weep and he would pray for his son. He would be looking down the road waiting for his son to come home. Do you know when they had that fatted calf killed? I think that's indication his father was expecting his return. He was preparing for his son's return. He already had a fatted calf in the stall waiting for that party when his son came home. He was already hoping, and he was a concerned father. But some of you today may think, how can this be a concerned father? If he just gave his son all his living and just let him go, how could he be a concerned father? Just let him go out into that evil old world and this old, cruel, sinful world. Just let him go out there and do whatever he wanted and just ruin his life. And knowing that the consequences, how could he be a concerned father? But I want to tell you something. We're going to see in this story later that what this father did was a right decision. As hard as it is for a parent to do, if you have a prodigal child, the best thing to do is cut them loose. You can disagree with me, but that's what happened here. He cut him loose. He just said, okay. You know, this son knew that he could not live this righteous living in his father's house. His father was not going to let him just do what he wanted and go out and waste his substance while he lived under his father's roof. No, he was not going to allow that at all. The son knew that. The son knew if he was going to live his own way, if he was going to live that party life, if he was going to go out and waste his life with righteous living, he knew he had to leave. He knew if he was going to just quit church and not go to church and not go to work every morning, as his father told him to, he had to leave, and that's what he did. Father just cut him loose. Let him go. You know, that's hard, isn't it? That'd be hard for a parent to do. I'd just cut them loose and just let them go. But you know, this was something that is pointing to our Heavenly Father. Did you know that He loves you so much? You know, this father represents our Heavenly Father. I believe in this parable it does. And this son represents a child of God. Represents a child of God that has come to faith in Jesus, has received salvation. He's in relationship with the Father now through the Son. He's in that eternal relationship. I want you to learn this principle this morning, and that is this. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, listen, nothing can sever that relationship. Nothing. When you're born again, you're a child of God. And nothing can sever that relationship. However, you can break that fellowship. You can break the fellowship. You will never sever the relationship with your Father, because you know what? Once you're born again, you're saved. There's eternal security. I believe that with all my heart. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. I believe this passage teaches that. I mean, here's a son. Even though he was out there in the world of sin in the far country, he was still the son. He was still his father's son. Did they have fellowship? No, they didn't.
that he was still his father's son.
He left the presence and the favor of his father, but he was still the father's son. You know, something we learn here is that our Father in heaven will never force us to stay in fellowship with him. Isn't that amazing? He will not force us to serve him. He will not force us to follow him or to love him. If we choose to just go our own way, listen, he will let us. He will allow us. He loves you so much that he gives you the choice to make your own choices. See, our Father in heaven, he wants you to choose to follow him. He wants you to choose to love him. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you, but if you walk out of fellowship with him, he will let you. He will let you, just like we see in this story here. When we do leave our Father, listen, he is brokenhearted. Our Father, he looks on the way, waiting and hoping that we'd come back. That is our Heavenly Father. He will let us go. If we want to go, he will let us go. He won't force us. You know, sometimes we think that we can have more fun following our own way than living under our Father's authority. We think we have more out there than we will following our Father. But in this story, we find it's not true. You know, some of you parents here may be parents of prodigals. If you are, if you have a prodigal child, listen, you can feel this father's pain. You can feel his pain. And I want you to know that the Father understands your pain. He knows what it's like. And I want you to know that your Father in heaven, he hurts even more. And you say, how can that be? Well, because he has greater love than we have. The greater capacity you have to love, the greater you hurt. You know, it's sad that, you know, as a father like this father here, you know, he, when the child was young, you know, he can just spank that child. He can just discipline the child and get it over with and get that child back in order. But you know what? When they get old like this and they make their own choices, you just live with the pain. You cut them loose and just have pain and hope and pray and weep. Have got concern for them. That they'll learn their lesson, that they'll come back to their senses. I want you to see second this morning that he not only is he a concerned father, but our Heavenly Father, he's a compassionate father. He's a compassionate father. You know, this son, when he went off into the far country, listen, it didn't go so well. I mean, he lived high on the hog for a while, but then he lived low with the hogs. You know, Jesus used those six words. He wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, he went out with a pocket full of money, went to the casinos, went to the strip joints, went to the bars, blew it all. Wasted it all on the party life. A lot of people like that today, they go off to college, they go off to university, and it's just party life. They spend their life there partying. And many of them never even graduate because of the party life. They ruin their lives. You know, this kid, before he could turn around, it was all gone. We find here that when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and he began to be in want. I want you to know something this morning. When you pursue sin, it's going to leave you empty. You know, this son, he left the fullness of his father's house to the emptiness of sin. I mean, there for a while it was pleasurable. Just like the Bible says in Hebrews, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. They're for a short time. And so he had that pleasure for a short time. But then notice what happens. He is now in want. That means he's in need. He spent it all. He had nothing left. And not only that, there was a famine in the land. You know, our Father, he works providentially in our lives. When we go astray, do you realize that? That when we go astray from our Heavenly Father, did you know that he works in providence? What happened here? There was a famine. He spent all of his money. He was in want. And the Bible even tells us that no man gave to him, in verse 16. So what did he find when he thought, boy, this is going to be fun. I get to do my own thing now. I don't have to do what my father said. I can just go out and do whatever I want. He thought it was going to be great. This is going to be fun. This is going to fulfill me. But what he found is it left him empty. Left him empty. And that's what sin will do for you. Not only was he empty, but I want you to notice that he was in bondage. Because it says he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You know, this is the lowest a Jew could go. Jews considered swine, pigs, unclean. This was the lowest he could go. Here he was, he had to join himself. That means he became a servant or a slave. And this man told him, I want you to go out and feed my pigs. So when he thought that he was going to have all this freedom, I'm going to go out, I'm going to be free at last, I can do what I want. What did it lead him to? Led him to bondage. Here he is in bondage, feeding pigs. Went from the fullness of his father's house down to the emptiness, down to this very lowest gutter, feeding pigs. And you know what it says here? He would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. That word fain, it means he would have coveted. He would have desired. He was so hungry, he as he was feeding these swine, he could not even eat their food because it wasn't for him. And he said he would have coveted to eat that food because he was so hungry. The husk, what is a husk? It's a corn cob. Without the corn. I mean, corn has already been eaten off of it, and it's just old husk thrown out there, and pigs eat it. He said, I would have eaten that. And listen, you know what the husk speak of? Again, it speaks of the emptiness of sin. You pursue sin. You pursue anything apart from Jesus Christ, it's going to be just like those husks that was fed to these pigs. The husks, they promise to fill you, but they leave you empty. They leave you unsatisfied. That's what sin will do. Here he is, empty, in bondage, and may I add, in humiliation, feeding pigs. Here, you talk about humiliation. Sin will do that. It will bring you down to the lowest and humiliate you. But I want you to know, because his father cut him loose, because his father let him go to find out what's out in that world, this boy learned the reality of life. He learned on the hard knocks of life what it was all about. And you know what it says here in verse number 17. And when he came to himself. You know, it means he came to his senses. I mean, this boy was making unrational decisions. He was making foolish decisions, stupid decisions. And so many young people do that today. Their parents try to advise them, say, okay, this is what is good. This is the wise, this is wisdom. Ah, I know better than that. I can do, I know that my way's good. It's foolish. They go off in their foolish ways, and listen what happens here. They end up like this boy. Humiliated. You know, he came to himself. That means he came to his senses. He finally, wow, the light came on. Right here is repentance taking place. A change of mind, a change of heart, and it led to a change of behavior. And this man came to realize where he really was. He came to realize how good he had it back at the Father's house. He said, in my Father's house, his servants there, they have bread and enough to spare. Even his father's servants. And he said, here I am perishing with hunger. You know, our Father in heaven, he has bread and enough to spare. He has more than we need. He has everything that we need to satisfy us, to fill us, to make us fulfilled. The Father in heaven, he has everything. This boy, what happened here was he came to the point of total desperation. The point of total desperation. Now, I want to go back to that first point. Remember, I said he was a concerned father, and some may think, well, how could he be concerned just to let him go? You know, why didn't he just do everything he could to protect his son from going out there and ruining his life? Because he wanted him to come to the point of desperation. You know what? If we go out there and try to protect and stop them from going, guess what? They're never going to seek God. They're not going to seek the Lord. You know, this boy had to swallow something even more tasteless than those corn cobs or those husks would have been, and that is his pride. At this point, he had to swallow his pride. At this point, he had to say, I've sinned. You know, if you look here, as he came to this point of total desperation, I want you to go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. I think Brother Guffey mentioned this last Sunday night, this verse, a very great verse. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leading us to repentance. I think this boy, he began to realize the goodness of his father. Had he not realized that, you know what? He wouldn't have gone home. Had his father been mean and hateful, he wouldn't have gone back. Had his father said, you can just take your bag and get out of here and don't come back. He could have done that. And that boy probably never come home. His father didn't do that. His father was probably weeping when his son left. His father was broken. His father showed goodness to this boy. And when this boy finally came to his senses, he finally came to himself and he realized how good his father was, that he went back. You know, this is something I read that's interesting. I read that back in this day and time, there was a story that existed among the Jewish rabbis that was very similar to this story that Jesus told, except for it had a different ending. Same story, different ending. And what I read was when this son came back crawling home, his father rejected him. And so I'm sure that as these Pharisees and these scribes and even these sinners and publicans, as they were hearing what Jesus was teaching, I'm sure in their minds they were thinking, oh yeah, I've heard this story. As Jesus began to tell the story, I've heard this story. And when they come to the point where the son comes crawling back home to his father, they're waiting for that point. And guess what? Jesus changed the plot. You see, the story that the Jewish rabbis told and shared was something like this. You know, when the son came home, the father said, "Oh, forget it. You want to live the pig life? Go back to your pigs." You made your bed, now lie in it. You got what you had deserved. That was the story they told. That was like Old Testament legalism. You realize even the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 21 verses 18 through 21, it talks about what parents can do if they have a stubborn and rebellious son or a child. They were to bring that stubborn and rebellious son to the elders of the city, and they would tell the elders of the city, "This, my son, is a stubborn and rebellious son. He will not do what we tell him to do." And you know what? They would take him, that son, out of the city, and the elders of the city would stone that son to death. You're like, whoa. You know, there may be some parents of prodigals thinking, that's a good verse. But you know, that's not the ending that Jesus gave. That's not the picture that Jesus gave. He gave us a different picture than what they shared. He told them about a father that was like our Father in heaven. That he was a concerned father. He was a compassionate father. That when this boy came home, I want you to look in the scripture. Verse 20. Here's a key verse right here, verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Isn't this something? Oh, my. You know, this father every day was longing. He was looking. He was waiting for his son to come home. Every sundown, I'm sure he went out and looked down the road looking to see if his son was coming home. One day he went out there and he was looking and he sees this figure coming down the road. And he's looking real closely and he's thinking, you know, that's not my son. Because that figure coming down the road is all bent over and, you know, just walking like that, all in raggedy clothes. And he was thinking, you know, my son, he wore fine clothes. That can't be my son. But as that boy began to get closer and closer, the father saw the face of that boy and they realized that that was his son. And the Bible says that he ran. He ran. That's amazing. You know, when we as God's children, when we run off into the far country, when we go off and live in a life of sin and rebellion, and then we come back, our Father's running to us. You know, back in that day, it was not dignified to run for old men, especially. They wore robes and they'd have to hold them up, and it would not be very dignified at all. Old men didn't run. But here this man, he didn't care. He pulled up his robe and he took off running for his son. And the Bible says he fell on his neck. That means he hugged him, and it says he kissed him. And the verb here in the Greek New Testament, it implies he continually kissed him over and over and over. You talk about compassion. This was compassion. This was a compassionate father. You know, he took his son just as he was. You know, just remember where this son came from. He just came from the pig slop. How many of you have ever been around pigs? They don't smell good. I mean, this kid just came from the pig slop. No doubt he was smelling pretty bad. But the father didn't say, "Hey, wait a minute, you go take a bath first." No, he just hugged him and kissed him. He took him in just as he was. And listen, our Heavenly Father is the same way. When we come home to Him, He is the same way. He will take us just as we are and forgive us and restore us. I want you to see, thirdly, this is a charitable Father. A charitable Father. You know, when the son came home, we see his repentance. Remember, in the beginning, he told his father, "Give me." But you'll notice in verse 19, he said, "I'm going to tell my father, make me as one of thy hired servants." You know, there's a difference, isn't it? Give me. Now he's saying, make me. He's submitted. He's yielded. Father, just make me as one of your servants. But there are three things when he came to his father, three things he said, and two of them were right, but one of them was wrong. I mean, the first thing he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven." That was right. I mean, all sin is a sin against God. All sin is sin against God. And this boy realized that. He came to realize, "I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my Father in heaven." There's a sin against God. But then, secondly, he said, "And in thy sight." He was telling his father, "I've sinned against you." You know, that's probably the hardest thing for us to come to, is to say, I've sinned. I've done wrong. To ask forgiveness. But this boy, we see his change of heart. We see his brokenness. We see his repentance. We see him telling his father, "I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you." But the third thing he said here is that, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." You know, that's not true, because listen, he was not worthy to start with. He said, "I'm no more worthy." He was not worthy to start. Listen, when we become a child of God, it's not because we're worthy. It's because of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are worthy to be children of God. It's only by the grace of God that we're saved. But we see his humility here as he came and he said, "Father, I'm not even worthy anymore." But the father wouldn't hear it. He's talking about a charitable father here. He would not make his son a servant. He was still a son. He was a son. He told his servants, "I want you to come bring a robe. You know, cover him. A picture of our righteousness, that robe of righteousness." He said, "I want you to bring a ring, put on his finger." You know, back in that day, that was a signet ring. They would sign documents with that ring. It was a sign that he was still part of the family. "Bring him shoes." You know, in that day, slaves did not have shoes. He wanted him to know, "You're not a servant, you're my son." He restored everything that son had left. He restored everything. Put a robe on him, shoes on him, and ring on his finger. And then, you know, to top it off, he said, "Go kill the fatted calf." They had a real, genuine Texas barbecue. I mean, what a way to rejoice. Nothing like Texas barbecue here. This is a charitable father. You know, I'm sure the Pharisees, they were shocked when they heard this story. They were thinking, you know, this father was going to say, "Ha! You got what's coming to you. Just go out there and eat your cake just like you wanted." But just to hear this, to hear that something altogether different, this has revolutionized their idea of God. That God is a father who is compassionate. God is a father who is concerned. God is a father who is charitable toward his children. You know, I was reading this story about a man that he went to this art gallery, and he saw this painting of this story. It was a Spanish painting, painted by a Spanish artist. And he said it had a picture of this son with the raggedy clothes on his knees and standing before his father. And or kneeling before his father, and then you could see behind his father one of the servants with a platter with the robe and the shoes, and another servant with the ring. And then on the other side, there was a servant with the fatted calf. And a servant on the other side of him prepared to slaughter and prepare that calf. But off in the background of that painting was the picture of the elder son in the shadows, looking in bitterness, in anger at what was taking place. You know, what we have here in this story really is not the prodigal son, but the prodigal sons. Both of these sons were prodigals. Even though one did not go to the far country, he was still a prodigal. You know, that's another sermon. But you know, if you look even further in this story, you know, it wasn't a story of just two sons. It was a story of three sons. You have the younger son. You have the elder son. And then you have the Son of God telling this story. You know, the Son of God, he left his father's house to go to the far country. Not in disobedience, but in obedience. He went to the cross to die at the hand of sinful men. The Son of God, think of our Father. He loved us so much. He loved you so much that he sent his Son into the far country, into a sinful world, to be crucified by these sinners, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be spit upon, to be crucified for you, so that you might have forgiveness, so that you might have eternal life. He came all the way into this world for you so you can be in the family of God. Talk about a loving father. Here's the Son of God telling about his father. This is what my father's like. He is a concerned father. He's a compassionate father. A charitable father. That's my father. Let me ask you today, do you know this Father? Have you received the Son of this Father, the Son of God? Have you believed on him with all your heart? Have you come to him in repentance and faith? Are you his child? Are you a child of the King? Can you say, Abba, Father, in sincerity and truth? If not, let me tell you, today you can if you will come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come like this son, pleading, begging, asking for salvation, asking for forgiveness. You know, what we learn in these stories is that the Father takes great joy even if one sinner repents. You read all three of these stories, and you can find that, like in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Nothing will bring more joy to the Father's heart this morning than for you to repent and come and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're saved. Maybe you're a child of God. You've trusted Christ, but you've gone into that far country. You've wandered astray. You went out to do your own thing. You've experienced, like this boy, the ruin of sin. How it's left you empty and in bondage and humiliation. Maybe you're here and you're at the point of desperation. Would you come back to the Father? Because listen, this Father, he will receive you. He will restore you. He's not going to mock you. He's not going to sit there and say, ha, that's what you had coming. No, he's going to love you. He's going to receive you. He's going to restore you. That's the Father that Jesus presented to us in this parable. The parable of the good Father. I want you to stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.
Our Father, we're so grateful for your love, for your compassion, your concern for us. Lord, we even read in the scripture how that all the hairs of our head are even numbered. Lord, you are concerned about our lives and the choices that we make. Lord, may we not get confused in thinking that when you allow us to go our own way that you don't care. Because we see in this passage that you do care. You're a concerned Father. That it breaks your heart when we go astray in our own way. It breaks your heart when, because you know the consequences of our decisions and the ruin it's going to bring to our lives, the emptiness and the bondage. And you know that there's going to be scars and there's going to be regret in our life for what we've done. But you love us so much that you let us just go and make our own choice. Father, we thank you for the love you have for us. And I pray that, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see your goodness today. That you would bring us to repentance. That we'd see how good it is to dwell in your house. How good it is to live under your authority. How good it is to walk in fellowship with you. Oh, it's so much better than the pleasures of sin. It's so much more rewarding. It's so much more peaceful and joyful and fulfilling. Father, there may be someone here this morning that has never experienced this kind of love. They've never experienced the love of a Father like this. This kind of compassion. This kind of concern. This kind of charity. God, I pray that you would open their eyes to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. They can come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, by simply trusting him, what he did on the cross for our sins, how he died for us. I pray if there's someone here like that today, that this would be the day that they would confess Jesus as their only Lord and Savior. Father, there are also, I'm sure, people here that your children that have gone into the far country that are not walking in fellowship with you. They have left your presence and your favor. Their lives are empty. Their lives are unfruitful. Their lives are not what you planned for them. God, I pray that they would come to themselves today. They would come home to the Father, be restored into his fellowship, into his presence, into his favor. Oh, Father, I pray you would bless this invitation. You'd use it to glorify your own name. And I pray in Jesus' name, of God spoken to you.